Today is a special day in a number of ways. It's a Sunday program at a Hare Krishna temple. And it's Mother's Day. And it's Akshaya Tritiya. And it's the first of the 3 weeks of Chandan Yatra. So I thought I should speak about each of those a little bit differently. Which one should I start with? Mother's Day, right? Mothers come first. During the day today, another gathering spoke something about Queen Kunti and her role as a mother of the Pandavas and her very, very special relationship with Krishna. I read from Mahabharata when Krishna came to Hastinapur with the message of peace that was rejected by Duryodhana later, but before he delivered the message of peace, he visited the home of Vidura, who was part of the royal family, but was not involved with their intrigue. In fact, he was very much opposed to their intrigue. So Queen Kunti was staying in the house of Vidura while her five sons and Draupadi were in exile or living in the forest. And on the 13th year, when the year of incognito had been finished, Krishna had gone to stay with them in the kingdom of Virata. And Krishna had come on their behalf, on behalf of the Pandavas, to offer peace to the Kauravas. So when Kunti saw Krishna, she was very happy because she's a devotee of Krishna. She was very happy. She was also broken with sadness because seeing Krishna reminded her of her sons, who she had not seen for so many years. So she was jubilant and very broken at the same time, very sad. And she spoke very beautifully to Krishna about her sadness, the great misfortune that had come to her ideal character sons, and so on. I thought from that discussion today to go further with Queen Kunti, instead of the Mahabharata version, the Srimad Bhagavatam version. Mahabharata, of course, Bhagavad Gita appears within Mahabharata, but the theme of Mahabharata, one can say, is dharma, abiding by virtue, acting according to one's higher duties of life, and the consequence if one neglects that higher duty of life and takes to adharma. So, struggle of good and evil, virtue and vice. Classic. And we know who wins and we know why. It's not just because the story has to come out, the good wins and the bad loses. It's because Krishna is on the side of, he protects those who are abiding by virtue. So, even there may be circumstances for some period of time where it looks like it's going the other way. Those who are faithful on the path of virtue, who never sway from the truth, they're protected, always. And that's the theme of Mahabharata. And the theme of Srimad Bhagavatam is pure devotion to Krishna. Savai punsam paro dharmo yato bhaktir adhoksa jay. That's the theme of Srimad Bhagavatam. Engaging in pure devotional service is the pinnacle of all dharma. In fact, all other dharma is in pursuance of that dharma to achieve the stage where shelter of Krishna in pure love and devotion, that's the goal. That's the goal of life. The goal of all virtuous persons, of all dharma, is to achieve that stage. And Kunti had achieved that stage. I want to read three verses where Kunti is speaking in the famous prayers of Queen Kunti section of Srimad Bhagavatam. It's Canto 1, Chapter 8. And Kunti is appreciating how Krishna has protected them. Even though they were in difficulty, again and again, Krishna protected them again and again. So here's how she says it. O Rishikesh, Master of the senses and Lord of lords, you have released your mother, Devaki, who was long imprisoned and distressed by the envious King Kamsa, and me and my children from a series of constant dangers. And in the purport, Prabhupada explains two things very, very nicely. Kunti Devi was shown far more favor than Devaki because Lord Krishna did not save the other children of Devaki, whereas he saved the children of Kunti Devi. Right? The first six sons of Devaki were mercilessly killed by Kamsa. Kunti had five sons and all of them were protected by Krishna. So Kunti was shown more favor than Devaki. This was done because Devaki's husband, Vasudeva, was living, whereas Kunti Devi was a widow. And there was none to help her except Krishna. The conclusion is that Krishna endows more favor to a devotee who is in greater dangers. So if you find yourself in a difficult situation, celebrate. Why celebrate? Because Krishna will show special favor. First, become a devotee. But a devotee who has difficulty, extreme difficulty, really, really unusually terrible difficulty, celebrate because Krishna's protection is close at hand. So we'll read on. She goes on. She lists some of the difficulties that she and her sons were put through. My dear Krishna, your lordship has protected us from a poisoned cake, from a great fire, from cannibals, from the vicious assembly, from sufferings during our exile in the forest, and from the battle where the great generals fought. And now you have saved us from the weapon of Ashwatthama. So if this wasn't Akshaya Tritiya, I would go through each of these tribulations, describe them. Maybe I'll just describe one of them. The first one. The poisoned cake. The poisoned cake example where Krishna saved was when there were three brothers. Firstborn, well, it goes way back. But anyway, Santanu and his sons, Vichitravirya. Anyway, so they were killed. So there had to be children to carry on the royal throne. So Vyasadeva was called to bear children, to beget children in the wives of Vichitravirya. Anyway, so Dhritarashtra was born first, Pandu was born second, Vidura was born third. Because Dhritarashtra was born blind, he was not eligible to become king. So the second born son, Pandu, was to become king. And when Pandu came of age, he was married to two wives, to Kunti and Madri. And Pandu had a liking more than living in their palace. He liked living in the forest, in the royal garden, and, you know, peaceful. That was Pandu. But he was a virtuous king and very great warrior. So, without the whole detail of Mahabharata, he died when his five sons were still very young. The eldest of those sons being Yudhisthira, then Bhishma, then Arjuna, then Nakula and Sahadeva. So, Yudhisthira was the rightful heir to the throne. So but the boys were too young. They weren't yet. Amazing. They weren't yet of age to become king. So Dhritarashtra presided over the throne, while his sons, headed by Dhritarashtra, were helping to run the affairs of the state, although they were also young, as were the Pandavas. And you know the saying, boys will be boys. You heard that saying before? Get his attention. Boys will be boys. Have you heard that before? Can you imagine what that means? You can imagine. Okay. Parents know that have boys. Boys will be boys. So they were always very playful. And they liked sporting activity. And amongst the sporting activities, between the 100 sons of Dhritarashtra and the 5 sons of Pandu, Bhimasen was always victorious. He would pick up the boys and just throw them in the air, and they go tumbling when they crash to the ground, because he was so powerful. This made Duryodhana very angry. And because he had a low nature, not a high nature, he naturally thought, as boys will be boys. Boys? Boys? Where are you going? How about back here? Very good. Okay. Thank you very much. Now try to remember where you left off. Boys will be boys. Duryodhana had a brilliant idea. He thought of killing Bhima. And he thought the best way to kill Bhima, because one of Bhima's names is Vrikodara, because he's a voracious eater. So he thought of feeding him cake, lots of cake, with lots of poison, and he would die. So he made the proposal to his father. And Dhritarashtra immediately objected. How can I do this? Pandu, my younger brother, he took care of me because I was blind. He treated me like he was the elder brother, although he was the younger brother. He cared for me. He did everything for me. And now you're proposing we should kill his son? No. I can never agree with that. Duryodhana was very expert in diplomacy. He knew how to play on the heartstrings of his father. He said to his father, "You don't know how much pain it gives me to be in the presence of Bhima, because he's always winning. He's so powerful. My dear father, if you don't agree that we take the life of Bhima, I'll take my own life. I can't stand to be in the presence of that person." And Duryodhana, Dhritarashtra was silent. So he knew he got him. So he went further and further with the plan and said, "We have a very nice summer home, a royal summer home. And that royal summer home will arrange a festival where the Pandavas and the Kauravas, we can go and we can have sporting activities together all day long, different competition events. And of course, Bhima will win. And at the end of the day, we'll have a big feast. And I'll specially prepare Bhima's plate." Dhritarashtra remained silent. So he went through with the plan. And all the boys went together and spent a day, on a bright summer sunny day, playing and sporting by the river and by the side of the river. And at the end of the afternoon, big feast. And Duryodhana put enough poison in the plate of Bhima to kill 20 men. And Bhima just ate it and ate it and ate it. And afterwards he felt a little tired. So he said, "I want to take a little rest by the side of the river." And the others went back to the palace because it was towards the end of the day, and immediately Duryodhana and his friends tied him up in rope and pushed him into the river where he would drown if he wasn't already dead. And Bhima had eaten so much, he sank very quickly to the bottom of the river, but he went down and down and down and down and down and down into the lower regions of creation where the Nagas reside. And the Nagas immediately began biting him. And it just so happened that the poison of the Nagas was the exact antidote for the poison that had been eaten by Bhima. And it neutralized the poison. Now Bhima had all these ropes and he was being bitten by snakes, so he just enlarged his body and broke the ropes. The Nagas became very fearful. Who is this powerful person? And they went back to the king of the Nagas and explained everything that happened. But he happened to know who Bhima was, and he brought him, had him brought before him and honored him. And part of the honor was some very special pots of very special nectar, Naga nectar, that you take part of one pot and it makes you as strong as an elephant. Bhima was hungry. He ate several pots. So he became as strong as many, ten, some number of elephants. And then the king of the Nagas said, "You better go back. Your mother is very worried. Kunti is very, very concerned." So Bhima went back. And meanwhile, when Bhima didn't come back with all the boys, this is Mother's Day story, Bhima didn't come back. So what does a mother think when her son doesn't come back with all of the other children in the family? She was in great anxiety. So what did she do? She went to the Brahmanas to seek advice, what to do. And fortunately, Vyasadeva was there, who served like the spiritual master of the Pandavas and Kunti. And immediately Vyasadeva pacified Kunti, saying, don't you remember when the Pandavas were born, there were voices from the sky that spoke about each one of them and their glories. And it is said that the Pandavas, all five brothers, would rule the kingdom for a long time. So such prophecy isn't going to go in vain. Excuse me. That wasn't Vyasadeva. It was Vidura. Vidura spoke to Kunti in that way. Yes. That voices had spoken when the children were born, and Vyasadeva said, these sons will rule the kingdom. And the words of the Vyasadeva can never be wrong. So, Kunti, you should stop worrying. Everything is going to work out. Kunti was such a quality personality that just by hearing the words of Vidura, her heart and her mind became completely peaceful. Mothers, please develop such quality. Then when you hear the wise words of a wise person, as Vidura was very wise, just by hearing, your heart can become very peaceful. This was Kunti's qualification. So sure enough, after some time, Bhima came back. And the brothers and Queen Kunti were very, very happy to see Bhima had come back. And then Bhima disclosed the whole thing that had happened, because the Nagas had the capacity, they had the capacity to know why he had been tied in a rope and pushed into the river, because of the plan of Duryodhana to kill him. And when the brothers heard of this plan of Duryodhana to kill them, or to kill Bhima, they immediately wanted to do battle, destroy them. But Yudhishthira advised against it. He said, we've just come back from being in the forest for so many long years with our father. And Dhritarashtra and the sons of Dhritarashtra have been here in the royal palace for so many years. And so the alliances and the friendships and the camaraderie is naturally with them. And we don't have that situation just yet. So we have to wait to the proper time. So Kunti was accepting that the reason that Bhima was saved from the poison cake is because he was somehow protected by Krishna. So although the difficulty that a devotee is put in, some other kind of cause may be the resolution of that difficulty, a devotee like Kunti is always thinking, Krishna is the protector, Krishna is the well-wisher, Krishna is our dearmost friend. So Queen Kunti considered like that. Each of the difficulties that she and the Pandavas were placed in, Krishna, she knew. Krishna was arranging it, like we heard this afternoon. She knew that Krishna had arranged for Draupadi's, that difficulty that Draupadi, at least had sanctioned, the difficulty that Draupadi had been put in. So there must be some divine plan, although I don't understand it. And Krishna reassured her, don't worry. Very soon, the Pandavas will be in their rightful position, ruling the world. So here's this other verse, a very, very famous verse, spoken by Queen Kunti in her prayers. I wish that all those calamities would happen again and again, so that we could see you again and again. For seeing you means that we will no longer see repeated births and deaths. It was part of the situation of the Pandavas and Kunti and Draupadi that when difficulty would come, they would call out for Krishna and Krishna would come. But after the difficulty was relieved by Krishna, Krishna would go away. And then they would try to think up some difficulty so they could get Krishna to come. In the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, it's described that when Narada Muni went to visit the Pandavas and Kunti and Draupadi, they were having a little conference, a planning a calamity conference. Because Krishna hadn't been there in a long time. So they were thinking, what kind of calamity can we have so that Krishna will come? Now, not many people think that way. Let's plan a calamity. We want relief from calamities. So it's the understanding of what Kunti is saying here is when a devotee is in difficulty, they look to Krishna. And so many places in Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan, when some difficulty would come, the torrents of rain of Indra inundating the whole of Vrindavan because they had failed to perform the Indra Yajna. What did everyone do? They turned to Krishna. Krishna, please help us. Or the forest fire, or Aristasura, or Bakasura, or Dainukasura. Krishna. Krishna is the shelter of great personalities. And in the Vedic literature, Queen Kunti is among one of the greatest of the great personalities. In her prayers, she explicitly says that she's understanding that Krishna is the super soul. Only instead of being situated within her heart and in the heart of every living being, as he normally is, now he's standing before her as her nephew. And that brings her great pain. It's great joy to see Krishna standing before her as a super soul. But when Krishna goes to touch her feet because he's treating Kunti like he treats his mother, because that's his aunt, Queen Kunti. Kunti and Vasudeva were brother and sister. Krishna's father was Vasudeva and Kunti was the sister. So he treated her like his mother. And Kunti, that was difficult for her because she saw Krishna as the Supreme Lord. Those of you, I guess on this side of the room, who are mothers, at least in Vedic culture, we discussed this morning. Chanakya Pandit taught that a symptom of a wise person is one who sees all others besides his wife as mother. So you're all mothers, whatever your age is, even the little ones. You're all mothers, or not just like one day you'll be a mother, but all mothers. And that means respect goes to mother. So the duty of motherhood is to be like Kunti, to be giving shelter and protection to your offspring. And the best way to give shelter and protection to your offspring is to extend the shelter and protection of Krishna. Yes? Because Krishna is all-powerful and he can protect everyone. If you have Krishna's shelter, no one can harm you. And the opposite is also true. One may have the greatest fortress, the greatest weaponry, the greatest defense system. And if Krishna wants to destroy you, nothing can stop that. So, become, on Mother's Day, this is my short message, become fixed in your devotion to Krishna And in the strength of your becoming dear to Krishna, by your devotion to Krishna, you then in turn can extend protection to your dependents. Mother's Day message. Now I wanted to speak a little bit about, because it's a very special auspicious day, and like Ekadasi is another auspicious day, but that comes twice every month, and Akshaya Tritiya just comes once a year. Akshaya Tritiya is auspicious. I'm not an astrologer or astronomer. I don't know astrology, but I consulted somebody who is a very good astrologer. And he said the reason why Akshaya Tritiya is such an auspicious day is that on this day, both the moon and the sun are in the most auspicious position at the same time. The most auspicious time of the whole year. That's from an astrology perspective. So it's the third day of the waxing fortnight of the month of Vishakha. So, Tritiya, the third day. You look at the moon tonight. Well, cloudy sky, you can't see. It's just 3 days after. So it's not a full moon, but it's 3 days after. No, after the waxing. So just a little bit of a moon. So in that particular lunar day of the year, great auspiciousness. And Akshaya means unlimited. Just like it's on Akshaya Tritiya that Draupadi received her Akshaya Patra. And it's also so that pot produced unlimited food so that she and the Pandavas, while in the forest, could take care of everybody that came as they were traveling about, because their great personalities, persons would come to see them. And Draupadi's responsibility was to cook. And it was difficult because there were so many people and not so many supplies. So she was provided this Akshaya Patra. And it was the same day, Akshaya Tritiya, that Draupadi was disgraced in the royal assembly until she called out for Krishna. And when she called out for Krishna, "Hey Krishna, hey Govinda," he came. And not only he came, but he supplied unlimited sari. So much Dushasana became exhausted trying to take her sari from her body. Krishna protected Draupadi on this day. And so many other auspicious things. Lord Parashuram made his appearance on this day. The Ganges made its appearance in this world on this day. The beginning of Dwarapa Yuga began on this day. There's a nice verse from Hari Bhakti Vilas. Do you know what is Hari Bhakti Vilas? It's a literature compiled by Gopal Bhatta Goswami and then put in a published form by Sanatana Goswami that describes so many things about Vaishnava rituals. And there's a nice verse that describes, I'd like to read it. The Supreme Lord is the benefactor of all kinds of living entities. He created barley on the third bright fortnight of the month of Vaishakha. The Lord also caused the Ganges, which consist of three streams, to appear within this world, descending from Brahmaloka. On the auspicious day of the Ganges' appearance, one should offer a yajna by offering barley as an oblation, and should worship Lord Vishnu by offering offerings of barley items. One should give barley in charity to the brahmanas and give them food made with barley also. I wonder if they used barley for the feast tonight. Does anybody know? Make note of it next year. And Akshaya Tritiya. Treta Yuga began. So many nice things. Adi Shankaracharya wrote a particular stotra to Goddess Lakshmi as a prayer requesting the giving some benediction for a very poor Brahmin family. Vyasadev began writing Mahabharata, dictating to Ganesh on Akshaya Tritiya. And is anybody here from Orissa? Anyone from Orissa? Akshaya Tritiya marks the day that they begin making the Rath Yatra cart in Puri. And it also marks the beginning of a 21-day festival, marking the beginning of Chandan Yatra. And I'll describe it a little bit. It's a very nice festival. In holy cities like Puri and Srirangam and other sacred places, the festivals are at the center of the life of all the people. So on this day, there several deities come out of the temple. A deity of an Utsav Murti of Lord Ramachandra and Lord Krishna, and Madan Mohan, who is the Utsav Murti for Lord Jagannath. They come out of the temple. They're placed before the temple along with Lakshmi and Saraswati, and a big festival happens right in front of the temple, but that's just the beginning. Offerings and mantras and pujas. And then there are five Lord Shiva temples, very prominent temples in Puri. And the deities are brought from those temples. Those of you who have been there, you know these names. Yameshwara Mahadev, Markandeya Mahadev, Kapal Mochana Mahadev, Nilakanta Mahadev, and Lokanath. So these are temples that are in different places. The deities, the Utsav Murti from those temples come, and they're placed on one palanquin, and then the other deities are on two other palanquins, and they're taken in procession down an avenue, a different avenue for 21 days, because the people in those along those streets, they line the streets with festive flowers and banana trees that are cut, and the deities stop in different places where the brahmanas come out and make offerings to the deities and play musical instruments, and like big festivity going to Narendra Sarovar. And then the deities are placed in boats, and then the deities go for a boat ride, and music and festivity and all a grand procession and aarti and then offerings. And then the deities are taken off the boat, put back on their palanquins, and go back to the temple. And then they do it again the next day. And 21 days for these grand outdoor festivals, beginning today, Akshaya Tritiya. And then after those 21 days, there's an indoor festival for 21 days that's done not so much for the public, but by the brahmanas and different rituals they observe, starting today. And it's Chandan Yatra, and I was planning to bring digital images of Radha Shamasundar in Vrindavan and Radha Madhava in Mayapur, because I'm sure they have them on their websites. I have them from last year, but I didn't bring. The deity is covered completely, head to foot, with Chandan for 21 days. And then they, of course, wash the deity off, wash the chandan off, and then do a fresh chandan. Beginning of chandan yatra. And some temples do that in the West also, but these are very famous and prominent deities in those two temples. Is there anyone here from, I'm sure there is, anyone here from Vishakhapatnam or from Andhra Pradesh and know about the Simhachalam worship that begins today? Well, actually it starts the evening before, because the deity in Simhachalam is a Varaha Nrisimha deity. And there's a nice pastime connected with the combination of Varaha and Nrisimha in one deity. But the deity is not so big. But when you go to take darshan of the deity is really big. Because the deity is covered by 80 kilograms of chanda. That's a lot of chanda. So the festival, I've spent time with devotees who have been through the entire festival because they live in Simhachalam, they live in Vishakhapatnam, and they were invited to attend. Because, so it goes like this. Up until 6 p.m., the normal darshan takes place. And then they close darshan, and literally the place is vacated. Everyone has to leave, except the brahmanas, who are regularly engaged in the puja of the deity, and certain small number of invited guests. So someone I spoke to was one of those invited guests. So from 6 p.m. until 11 p.m., 5 hours, for us it would be kirtan. For them it's, they have certain prayers that they recite or sing. You know, in one family is entrusted with this set of prayers to sing or recite. And then another family, their set of prayers to sing and recite. And it goes on for 5 hours. Very, very beautiful traditional prayers. Then at 11 o'clock, the program ends. They're very regulated about it. At 1 o'clock, the next program begins. At 1 o'clock in the morning, the 80 kgs of chandan is removed once a year, today, in Akshaya Tritiya. And then at 3 o'clock in the morning, it takes 2 hours to take the chandan off. Then at 3 o'clock in the morning, they have another ceremony where there's some special place where they get water. There's a something like the Ganges that just flows out of a mountain. You've seen pictures, Gangotri. Just comes pouring out of a mountain. In Simhachalam, they have a mountain, and the water just comes pouring out of the mountain. There's not like ice melting up top and it's trickling down. It just pours out of the mountain. It's amazing. Remember when there was this drought, long, long, long drought in Andhra Pradesh for something like some number of years? The water never stopped coming out of the mountain in Simhachalam. So they go with 1,000 pots. They keep special festival pots because they use them once a year. 1,000 pots of that very special water and have an abhishek from 3 o'clock in the morning until 4 o'clock or 4:30 in the morning. And then they do their regular puja. And then from 6 o'clock in the morning, there's darshan, and it goes for 12 hours. Until 6 o'clock at night. And the numbers of people that come for darshan for those 12 hours is several lakhs. Because from the day before, people are lined up. You know, they got their little picnic box and, you know, sleep right there and whatever else you got to do. They answer the call of nature somewhere. And they just, you know, because they want to have darshan. So for 12 hours during the day, once a year, Nakshaya Tritiya, there's darshan of what's called Nija Rupam, the actual form of the deity, before the deity is covered with chandan. And then starting at 6 o'clock in the evening, Akshaya Tritiya, darshan ends, And all day long they've been preparing the first 20 kgs of chandan. Now, I don't know exactly how you could visually picture 20 kgs of chandan, except that I know because I travel a lot. The luggage limit when you check in luggage is 20 kgs. And it's heavy. So 20 kgs of chandan is a lot of chandan. And that goes on at 6 o'clock in Simachalam on Akshaya Tritiya. And then on the Purnima that comes later, this next 20 kgs of chandan go on the deity. And then there are two more Purnima days in the calendar. So by the end of that fourth time, the deity now again has 80 kgs of chandan covering the deity. And then, you know, the history behind is the deity of Nrisingadev was still very angry from the difficulty that Prahlad had been put through. So he told that the chandan should be placed on my body. And according to scripture, they follow, according to that Puranic narration, they follow four times, placing chandan to keep the temperature of the deity cool. So it's a wonderful festive day in many different traditions, but different parts of India. And it's in our Vaishnav calendar and many of our temples, especially temples where it's very hot this time of the year. Chandan Yatra is a nice festival to observe. And sometimes you go to those places and you get a little piece of chandan from the deity. In fact, when I went to Simachalam, I was given. It's considered to be like, not many people get chandan that came off Simachalam deity. Somehow somebody gave me some, and I just immediately distributed it to everybody. But because it's an auspicious day, in this, the language of Hari Bhakti Vilas, this Akshaya Tritiya is a day that's very dear to Lord Hari. Because this particular day is very dear to Lord Hari, it is known as Akshaya Tritiya. Whatever pious acts one performs on this day, such as taking holy bath, giving charity, offering shraddha, doing japa, chanting mantras, feeding the brahmanas, all very, very, very auspicious, especially on today. So if you haven't chanted japa today, you can chant, or you chant extra, or sponsor the feast. You can feed all the devotees, all the Vaishnavas that have come. And if someone has already done, you just duplicate the sponsoring of the feast. It's because of the auspiciousness, whatever beneficial activities are done on this day, it amplifies them in their merit. Now I'm looking at the clock and it looks like it's time for aarti. Yes? So, somebody wants to add something to this discussion or ask a question? Okay, Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.